Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in a very familiar passage of Scripture today. We're going to jump right into it just for sake of time. In fact, I don't think we'll be able to cover all of it today. But Luke chapter 16, certainly not my favorite passage of Scripture. And I hope this doesn't sound sacrilegious, Josh, but you know, there's part of me that just wishes this weren't in the Bible.
Yeah, I completely understand. It's a tough passage to deal with, but what a teaching and what an opportunity for us to learn and to share with others about what the consequences are.
You know, I don't ever want to hear bad news from my doctor.
Mm.
But if the doctor has bad news, I don't want to not hear it.
Yeah.
So I don't want there to be bad news. But if there is bad news, the best thing I can do is know it.
Yeah.
Because then and only then can I make an informed decision about it.
Right.
And Jesus was unafraid to give us truth. Whether that truth was easy to receive or hard to receive, he gave us truth because it's only as we are truthfully informed that we can make right decisions. And this is one of those passages mm-hmm. that's hard to hear. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, there was a certain rich man. Okay, stop for a moment. So he's talking about riches. He's talking about money. He's talking about finances. And that's what he's been talking about for the last three episodes. And these Pharisees are greedy people. The Bible just told us that.
Mm-hmm.
They're religious. But so now Jesus is bringing up the story about a well-respected Jewish rich man and showing that just because you're a well-respected, religious practicing rich man, which to many in those days would be an indication that, wow, you're blessed of God.
Right.
Boy, you're going to see the tables are turned, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's important that you pointed out all of those characteristics of this man. He was rich. He was Jewish. He was well-respected. And, you know, that's the audience to which Jesus is speaking right now. You know, these Pharisees, they're greedy. They're many of them wealthy, well-respected in their communities. But none of that saved them then, and none of that saves us now.
Right. So there was that certain rich man, and watch the description, which was clothed in purple and fine linen. So purple was a rare color. Of course, we know it as the color of royalty mm-hmm. in the Bible, or really, really just in history, purple. I'm told that there's a special like clamshell or
right.
something that they would crush to make it. Whatever it was a rare
yeah.
commodity that you could make purple dye with, and that's why it was more
mm-hmm.
Valuable. And then the Bible says fine linen. So that would actually be the undergarment, worn under your regular clothing, fine linen. So here's a man that's dressed to the nines.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you can see he's rich, how? By his clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So to you and I today, we would understand that. But let's face it, you know, in our society, that's not necessarily the indication of riches.
Right,
today.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you see people, you know, walking around with...
See, like Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
You know, he looks like a slob.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Don't tell him I said that.
Well, he may be listening to the podcast.
Mark, I love you, okay? You can make your tax refundable gift. But But in Bible days and in that culture, remember Achan?
Mm.
What did he steal? He stole the wedge of gold
yeah.
and the Babylonish garment.
Right, right.
Why? Because you know, the clothes were an indication of riches.
Yeah.
Then the Bible says in verse 19, and he fared sumptuously every day. So faring sumptuously, big meals, expensive food, great selection. So I don't know where some of the better places you've eaten. I get Josh, you and I are in the same pastoral staff here at Faith. Yeah, every now and then we just grab some of the pastoral staff members and we do a P.F. Chang's run.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's faring sumptuously.
It is.
The picture that I always get when I read this passage, though, is just a huge slab of steak, you know, mm-hmm. sitting in front of me. I don't know. That's what I picture when I read mm-hmm. it. I'm sure that's not what he was eating.
Well, we know it wasn't ham.
Right.
We know it wasn't bacon.
Yes, yeah.
But to fare some... So I would say there have been times in my life that I've fared sumptuously. Mm. I can think about the times in my life I've gone to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Or I've gone to some fancy restaurant. I suppose most of you out there can say you have fared sumptuously. But watch what it says. It said he fared sumptuously every day.
Yep.
This guy fared sumptuously every day. So he's rich. He has the best clothes. He has the best food. And then verse 20, and there was a certain beggar. So you cannot portray a greater contrast than this.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, here's a guy that has the best clothes, has the best food, eating anything he wants at any time of the day. And then now there's this beggar, this one that it's interesting.
No, he has no food.
He has no food. And we see that later in the passage. It's interesting, though, that this comes on the heels of that parable that he's just told about the unjust steward, where the unjust steward said, I'm too good to go out and beg, you know, that's going to be embarrassing for me. And so now here we have the other side of that contrast drawn where we see this beggar man named Lazarus.
So a certain beggar, and then here's the part of the story that is tough to deal with it because the Bible says named Lazarus.
Yeah, yep.
So my friends, this was not a parable.
Right, exactly.
In a parable, real life names weren't given. Mm-hmm. This is a story that Jesus is telling about a real man.
Yeah.
So there's this beggar named Lazarus. This is more than just a hypothetical story like the unjust steward or like the prodigal son. But this is a person who has a name. So there's a beggar named Lazarus, the Bible says. And look at the description the Bible gives of him. He was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So in shaping this story, Jesus gives just a couple descriptors of the poor man. So what are some of the ways by which Jesus described this beggar?
Yeah, the picture that he gives is certainly gripping. You know, here's a man that's in close proximity to the rich man. He's laying at his gate. And so, you know, he's there, he's begging. He's begging simply for crumbs. He's not begging for the steak, you know, that the rich man's eating. He's not begging for the fine linen. He's just begging for crumbs that fell from his table. And then, you know, he's got sores. He's not able to physically take care of himself, assumedly because of his poverty. So what a gripping picture that we get of the poor beggar here, Lazarus, only to be, I don't know if outdone is the right word, but by the fate of the rich man, as we'll see a little bit later in the passage.
So two things that strike me in addition to what you said. Number one, he was laid at the gate. So that's mm-hmm. passive. He didn't come walk there himself.
Mm.
He didn't amble down the road every morning and deposit himself on that street corner like you see homeless people with a cardboard sign or whatever. That's not the picture. The picture here is somebody that can't walk, whom a neighbor or a friend or a family member carries and lays him there for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So... And why the gate? Because that would be the chief place of concourse.
Right.
That's where people would come in and out, hoping Would you just give me something? Yeah, that's where beggars stand. They stand at places where people are going to be traveling and where they think people have money. So that's the one thing that struck me. The other thing is the dogs came and licked his sores. And I've heard messages on this passage, and so have you, in which people have said, well, you know, there was no comfort for this man. The rich man didn't give him the time of day, but the dogs showed more compassion. But that, I don't think that's what it's teaching at all. Dogs in the Bible were not pets.
Right.
They were like the dingo.
Yeah.
They were, if you've ever been to a third world country, you know what I'm talking about. They're out there scavenging themselves. Why were the dogs at the gate? For the same reason that Becker was at the gate. They were there to get food.
Right.
So the fact that they were licking his sores, that's not a statement of comfort. That's a statement of competition.
Mm.
That this man is like a dog. This man is no better than a scavenging animal that's hoping with ribs bare, that's hoping for just some level of compassion, albeit a crumb.
Yeah, yeah. What a sad picture of this man.
It's a picture, but it's also a contrast.
Yeah.
Because you have a description of riches. Look at these clothes. Look at this food every day. And you have a description of begging and sores and incapacity and all of that. So that's the picture Jesus paints. So now look at verse 22. And it came to pass. So it came to pass. Could that have been a week? Could that have been a month? Could that have been years? We don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know why? Because in the grand scheme of things, life is a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that man begged for 5 years, 5 months, or 50 years, in scope of eternity, that's really inconsequential.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I think the other side of that's true as well. So whether this guy had nice clothes for a week, a month, a year, or a lifetime, or fared sumptuously for a week, month, year, or a lifetime, really is inconsequential next to eternity.
Yeah.
So it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So what does that tell me about this beggar? If he was received into everlasting habitations, that was the quote from earlier in the chapter, then what does that tell me about his earthly life?
Yeah, it tells me about his heart. It tells me that, you know, he had trusted, you know, in God. And so now it's interesting the contrast that's made there. So on earth, the contrast is made where we get this picture of, and I can only imagine as the Pharisees listen to this, you know, story that Jesus is telling them, but there's this picture of this man that on earth has everything he could ever want. You know, he's got everything that anybody could ever want from a materialistic standpoint. And then there's this man that has nothing and everything that nobody wants. You know, nobody wants to live that sort of a life. But then as he dies, the language of Scripture is interesting because he is carried by the angels and the rich man is just buried.
Yeah. So let's not get to the rich man yet. Let's just think at this point in the story, what must be the mindset of these Pharisees? Because Pharisees were known, as were the other religious leaders, to ignore the poor, to actually take advantage of them. That was one of the chief reasons why Jesus rebuked them. Remember, even in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it was the priest.
Yeah,
it was the Levite that passed by on the other side because they had done their job. They had performed their religious duty. I don't have time for this beggar man. I don't have time for this low life. Remember when Jesus, a few episodes ago, Josh, we talked about it, went into that feast at that chief Pharisee, that paralyzed man was at the door and nobody cared about him.
Yeah. Yep.
So Jesus is still on that theme, isn't he?
Yeah.
And as he speaks about this, he says, so when this beggar died, let me tell you what happened to him. Okay. The angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Abraham would be the father of the Jewish nation. It would be Abraham's bosom would be what they would envision as paradise, as heaven. In other words, God paid attention to him You're not paying attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
God saw value in him and saw value in his decisions on earth, because isn't that what the parable of the unjust steward is all about?
Yeah, yeah.
He made friends with the mammon of unrighteousness, so he's received into everlasting habitations. You know, God obviously saw something in him that you didn't. There was a faith there, wasn't mm-hmm. there? What do we mm-hmm. know about heaven and being accepted? We know it's people that by grace through faith
right.
Trust the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's a man that despite his physical situation, despite his incapacity, was not blaming God, was not but a man that had been trusting God, was relying upon God, and ultimately was received by God.
Yeah, yeah. And what a lesson for us today. In as you were talking, two things came to mind. One, what are we trusting in today? Okay, I doubt that there's many, if any of us, that are listening to the podcast today that are in the physical condition that this beggar man was. But what are we trusting in? You know, whether it's for our sustenance, whether it's for our livelihood, whatever it's for, what are we trusting in today? Are we trusting in God? The other thing that came to mind is, how are we treating that one? You know, whether it's that one that we pass on the street, or even that person that we drive, you know, that we drive up next to at the stoplight, and we look into their eyes and see the hope that they lack and the hope that we as Christians have and possess. How are we treating that one person that's important to God?
Hmm. And that we're gonna revisit those applications for sure. We're out of time for today, but. Wow, there's a lot here. There's a lot more than what just meets the eye at surface glance. So I want you to stay zoned in, maybe give this story, give it some meditation, and we will come back to this next episode. Hope you have a great day today. Appreciate your faithfulness in listening, and pray for God's blessings upon your life today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.